Finding the Father, Chapter 15. By His Stripes. Men never do evil so completely and cheerfully as when they do it from a religious conviction. Blaise Pascal. Forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Mark Twain. Have you ever wondered why Jesus had to suffer such gross physical torment on the cross? Was His physical torment necessary to save humanity? Was it part of His mission to suffer such atrocities at the hands of human beings? It seems that He suffered as much hatred and violence as human nature could endure. Why? If the physical aspect of Jesus' sacrifice paid some part of a penalty, then the implications concerning the character of such a one who would demand such torture and torment are grave. The physical torment of crucifying criminals was the creation not of God, but of humanity. Nonetheless, the Bible is clear that God was overruling humanity's actions for a higher purpose. The Bible clearly states that it was part of Christ's mission to suffer as much hatred and violence at the hands of humanity as His human nature could endure. It also says that it was necessary for Jesus to suffer physical torment in order to save humanity. But why? Read carefully the words of the Apostle Peter. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Acts 4:27-28. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Acts 2:23. We must be clear. Jesus' physical sufferings played no role in paying some penalty for sin. What was their purpose? We need to be careful here, or the physical sufferings of Jesus won't illuminate our perceptions of God, but will further darken them. Humanity's captivity to sin is rooted and grounded in a misperception of God. Humanity's salvation, therefore, is rooted and grounded in an event that must reveal the truth about God and what He is like. Could Jesus' sufferings have been to reveal something that we otherwise would never have seen concerning God's heart toward us? Notice what Jesus included in this cup that He said He must drink. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath, the cup which the Father has given me. Shall I not drink it?" John 18:11. It is interesting to note that Jesus was not referring to the psychological or emotional aspects of His sufferings. The cup that His Father had given Him to drink absolutely included the psychological and emotional aspects, but here we see that it also included His physical sufferings. Again, was it necessary for Jesus to suffer physically in order to save man? The answer seems to be yes. But be careful. In what sense? Isaiah says, "By His stripes," that is, His physical suffering, "we are healed." Isaiah 53:5. Healed of what? We are healed of our misperceptions of what we think God thinks and feels toward us. We have the wrong picture. And it is from this wrong picture that through the events of the cross, God seeks to set us free. Follow carefully the events of those hours leading up to and encompassing Jesus' infinite sacrifice for us and ponder the implications. What is this all saying about the God Jesus claimed to be and reveal? As we ponder, I believe that we will be healed of the destructive effects of the lies we have believed about our God. For it is by these events, understood correctly, that our hearts are healed and liberated to see the truth, to see the beauty of our God. He truly is beautiful if you can just see Him. I also want you to consider how being freed from our misconceptions concerning Him will affect us. Jesus includes in the cup He must drink the sufferings that He is about to endure from this mob that is about to take Him away. But why? It was certainly not because the Father was demanding Jesus be tormented. Remember, God was not outside His Son demanding payment, but in Him, reconciling the world to Himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Have you ever met someone who was extremely focused on themselves, extremely self-centered? What does it take to change this mindset? What is necessary to reconcile this individual to those about whom he or she could not care less? What does it take to turn their focus from themselves to others? Usually it takes an incredible act of loving self-sacrifice from someone else on his or her behalf to awaken the realization that there are greater things in life to live for than oneself. If someone who is extremely self-centered can encounter this kind of love, then this love, and only this love, has the potential of changing their orientation for themselves to the one who loves them infinitely. Only by love is love awakened. We love because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. God has one shot. He must give it all. He must make the revelation clear and compelling. It must be visible, historical, unforgettable. It must be powerful enough to awaken in us deep sympathy and love for our God, transforming us at a heart level from living for ourselves to living for Him who died for us and rose again. If this should fail, all is lost. You see, it was our condition that made it necessary for Christ to suffer as much hatred and violence from our hands as His human nature could endure. Why? There is one theme that over and over screams out through Christ's suffering to our self-centered hearts. It is my prayer that this theme will be clearly perceived and believed in its lucid clarity as we let our hearts be moved in the pages ahead.